Level 1 Score DS Metrics. Level 1 Score DS Metrics fall into the performance attribute categories of resilience, reliability, responsiveness, and agility, economic, cost, profit, and assets, and sustainability, environmental, and social. We will go through the metrics for each performance attribute next. Resilience metrics, reliability. Level 1 measures of reliability include perfect customer, supplier, and return order fulfillment respectively. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines perfect order fulfillment as a measure of an organization's ability to deliver a perfect order. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a perfect order as follows. 1. An order in which the 7 R's, the right product, the right quantity, the right condition, the right place, the right time, the right customer, and the right cost are satisfied. 2. A fulfillment metric used to measure order proficiency, including being on time, complete, accurate, and undamaged. In short, it is the percentage of orders meeting delivery performance with complete and accurate documentation and no delivery damage or defects. Components of a perfect order include all items and quantities, so any late items or any items delivered in the wrong amount would violate the requirements of a perfect order. The definition of on time has to come from the customer. Documentation includes all packing slips, bills of lading, invoices, etc. A perfect order must satisfy all of the following conditions. A product is considered perfect if the product ordered is the product provided. A quantity is considered perfect if the product ordered is provided in the ordered quantity. A delivery is considered perfect if the location and delivery time ordered are met upon receipt. A customer order is considered perfect if the product is delivered to the specified entity. Documentation supporting the order is considered perfect if it is all accurate, complete, and on time. The product condition is considered perfect if the product is delivered and faultlessly installed, as applicable, according to specifications with no damage, is customer ready, and is accepted by the customer. The calculation for perfect customer order fulfillment is as follows. Resilience metrics. Responsiveness. The customer order fulfillment cycle time metric is the only level 1 measure of supply chain responsiveness. The Score DS website defines customer order fulfillment cycle time, order fulfillment lead time, or customer order cycle time, RS1.1, as follows. The average actual cycle time consistently achieved to fulfill customer orders. For each individual order, this cycle time starts at the order receipt and ends at customer acceptance of the order. Since it is an average, cycle time for individual orders may vary. Customer order fulfillment cycle time is calculated as follows in days. Customer order fulfillment cycle time is called a gross cycle time metric, meaning that there may be some dwell time included in this metric in addition to the customer order fulfillment process time, all value-added or non-value-added activities performed during the cycle. The Score DS website defines order fulfillment dwell time as any lead time created by the customer during the order fulfillment process during which no activity takes place. Dwell time is created by customers placing orders earlier than necessary, such as an order placed 14 days before the desired fulfillment date, even though it only takes the organization 6 days to fulfill the order. Here, the gross cycle time is 14 days. For this reason, a gross cycle time metric does not truly reflect the organization's responsiveness. Rather than trying to get customers to place orders exactly on time, organizations should view earlier than needed ordering as a benefit because it enables optimization of multiple orders. Separating out the net component from the gross requirement involves measuring each time period separately, as shown below. Note the Score DS code for order fulfillment dwell time has been added. The organization can then subtract the order fulfillment dwell time from the customer order fulfillment cycle time to find customer order fulfillment process time. Customer order fulfillment process time is the preferred way to measure the organization's responsiveness. Note that if the organization does not track dwell time, then the gross metric will equal the customer order fulfillment process time. Note that order fulfillment dwell time should never be allowed to include non-value-added lead time or idle time. These are instead included in customer order fulfillment process time as these are inefficiencies in the process that can be sought out and reduced or eliminated. Resilience metrics, agility. Agility in the supply chain is its ability to respond to market changes and remain competitive. The level one metric for this is AG1.1. Supply chain agility and the level two metrics are agility for order, source, transform, fulfill, and return, respectively. Agility in total or for one of these subsets can be measured in two basic ways. Strategic supply chain agility, days. Number of days to meet a 25% unplanned change in demand. To calculate the level one metric, sum the planned lead times for source, transform, order, fulfill, and plan. Operational supply chain agility, percentage increase slash decrease. The sustained percentage increase or decrease in quantities that can be achieved over the operational planning horizon, commonly this is 30 to 60 days. To calculate, assume no expedite costs and apply the following formula. Economic metrics, cost. The economic metrics for a supply chain can be complex. The measures that the CFO of a large company focuses on may be different than those that are pivotal to supply chain managers. There are two cost metrics at level one for measuring the costs of operating the supply chain. Total supply chain management cost, TSC&C, and cost of goods sold, COGS. CO1.1, total supply chain management cost. Per the SCORE DS website, the total supply chain management cost is calculated as the total cost to manage order processing, acquire materials, manage inventory, and manage supply chain finance, planning, and IT costs, as represented as a percent of revenue. The calculation for total supply chain management cost as a percent of revenue is to combine the level 2 costs and divide by total product revenue. CO2.1 plus CO2.2 plus CO2.3 plus CO2.4 plus CO2.5 slash total product revenue. Spelled out, this is CO1.2 cost of goods sold, COGS. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines cost of goods sold, COGS, as an accounting classification useful for determining the amount of direct materials, direct labor, and allocated overhead associated with the products sold during a given period of time. COGS is a financial accounting measurement of the cost associated with buying raw materials and producing the finished goods that were sold in the period. The cost associated with buying raw materials and the cost to transform in the SCORE DS model is generally included in this calculation. The formula includes direct costs, materials, labor, and indirect costs related to production, overhead. The calculation for COGS equals cost to transform, or COGS equals CO2.6, direct material cost, plus CO2.7, direct labor cost, plus CO2.8 indirect costs related to production, or more simply, SCORE DS defines direct material, direct labor, and indirect costs related to production only at a high level, since there are many ways to define each of these categories. Economic metrics, profit. Profit metrics include the following. PR1.1 earnings before interest and taxes, EBIT as a percent of revenue. PR1.2 effective tax rate. EBIT measures the organization's earning power from ongoing operations before interest payments or income taxes are factored in. EBIT as a percent of revenue is calculated as follows. The effective tax rate is the average tax rate paid by the organization. SCORE DS notes that a tax-efficient supply chain can significantly impact this rate. Economic metrics, assets. Metrics related to the supply chain's effective use of resources, including fixed and working capital, are the cash-to-cash cycle time, return on fixed assets, and return on working capital. AM1.1 cash-to-cash cycle time. Cash-to-cash cycle time is defined as the time it takes for an investment to flow back into a company after it has been spent for raw materials. It is a continuous measure of how many days the organization's working capital is invested in managing the supply chain. The data needed to calculate cash-to-cash cycle time, average inventory, accounts receivable, and accounts payable can be found on the balance sheet, statement of financial position. Cash-to-cash cycle time is calculated as follows. Each of the items used in this calculation can be determined as follows. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary has some relevant definitions. Days outstanding. A term used to imply the amount of an asset or liability measured in days of sales. For example, accounts payable days are the typical number of days that a firm delays payments of invoices to its suppliers. Days sales outstanding. A measure of the average number of days that a company takes to collect revenue after a sale has been made, calculated as the total accounts receivable divided by the average daily sales rate. Also called accounts receivable days. Days of supply. 1. Inventory on hand metric converted from units to how long the units will last. For example, if there are 2,000 units on hand and the company is using 200 per day, then there are 10 days of supply. 2. A financial measure of the value of all inventory in the supply chain divided by the average daily cost of goods sold rate. Cash is tied up in the system by the difference between amounts owed to the organization and amounts still owed to others plus inventory. Reducing inventory will directly reduce the cash-to-cash cycle time, thus increasing cash flow. For example, if a supply chain has 60 inventory days of supply, 40 days of sales outstanding, and 45 days of payables, its cash-to-cash cycle time is 55 days. The three elements of the cash-to-cash cycle reflect the impact of supply chain management on the company's cash position. Negative indicators include high levels of inventory, high days of sales, receivables, outstanding, it's taking a long time to get paid, or low levels of payables, the company is not benefiting from keeping money invested as long as possible before making payments. If unnecessarily high inventory levels are the problem, the company can reduce the cycle time by improved forecasting and just-in-time JIT initiatives to reduce inventory, consistent with avoiding stockouts. Cash-to-cash cycle time is considered to be an important indicator of a company's health. The faster the cycle, the healthier the company. A fast cycle indicates effective management of cash flow to maximize the use of the cash and to reduce working capital requirements. However, what is considered a normal duration for the cash-to-cash cycle time will differ by supply chain, industry, and organizational strategy. Even within a given industry, one organization may have owned less of its inventory than another due to heavier use of strategies such as vendor-managed inventory, VMI, or consignment. VMI helps to lower the inventory in the pipeline by sharing information between the links in the supply chain. Consignment stock postpones the handoff of ownership. Similarly, an organization that is vertically integrated will own its inventory for much longer than one in a horizontal supply chain. Therefore, it is not necessarily possible to compare cycle times without understanding the relevant strategies for each business. An organization's cycle time can always be a benchmark for its own continuous improvement. One advantage of using this metric is that it can be easily benchmarked to information found in public financial statements such as those of a competitor. Note that while cash-to-cash cycle time can be calculated using historical data, a preferred method for supply chain management is to base the calculations on 5-point rolling averages as stated in the above equations. AMON.2 return on fixed assets. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines return on supply chain fixed assets as the return an organization receives on its invested capital in supply chain fixed assets. This includes the fixed assets used to orchestrate, plan, source, transform, order, deliver, and return. Fixed assets include property, plant, and equipment. Return on fixed assets is calculated as follows. Note that in this calculation, TSCMC is not expressed as a percent of revenue. For example, if supply chain revenue is $1 million, total supply chain management costs are $850,000, and supply chain fixed assets cost $600,000, then the return on fixed assets is 25%. AMON.3 return on working capital. Another metric used to measure supply chain asset management is return on working capital. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines return on working capital as a measure of profit on the amount of capital consumed. It is calculated as after-tax operating income divided by net working capital. Return on working capital assesses the magnitude of an investment relative to a company's working capital position versus the revenue generated from a supply chain. Components include accounts receivable, /R, accounts payable, /P, inventory, supply chain revenue, cost of goods sold, and supply chain management costs. The calculation for return on working capital is as follows. Note that in this calculation, TSCMC is not expressed as a percent of revenue. Sustainability metrics. Environmental. Environmental metrics include metrics for EV 1.1 materials used, which is the total weight or volume of materials that are used to produce and package main products and services. It has renewable and non-renewable level 2 metric subsets. EV 1.2 energy consumed, which is total energy consumption of the organization in joules or multiples thereof. It also has renewable and non-renewable subsets. EV 1.3 water consumed, which is total water consumption in megaliters. It has water withdrawal and water discharged subsets. EV 1.4 GHG emissions, which is greenhouse gas emissions measured as metric tons of equivalent CO2 in Scope 1, direct emissions, Scope 2, energy indirect, and Scope 3, other indirect, Level 2 subsets. EV 1.5 waste generated, which is the total weight of waste generated in metric tons. Its Level 2 subsets include generated waste diverted from disposal and directed to disposal. Sustainability metrics, social. Social metrics include the following. These do not have Level 2 metrics. SC 1.1 diversity and inclusion, which is measured as the percentage of individuals in the organization's governance bodies per gender, age group, and other diversity indicators. SC 1.2 wage level, which is the ratio of entry-level wage by gender at significant locations of operations to the minimum wage. SC 1.3 training, which is the number of hours training per gender per employee category.